I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. It's U.S. Open Week. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson. Kyle Porter is going to reach us from so many different places in this country during this week. And Kyle, this particular place, we've got just bad storms in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Power's knocked out at the content shed. And so this is Kyle Porter, whose name is on this podcast, sweating it out to get you the First Cut content that you need. Let me begin this podcast by saying thank you, Kyle, for your service.
You're welcome, Chip. I've got phones plugged into computers, plugged into phone. I feel like I'm running some sort of like shell game, circular, I don't know what's going on, but we're connected. We're talking. I can hear you. I was at a Starbucks at like 6 this morning trying to grind out U.S. Open content. So yeah, we're making it. I'm ready. I'm about ready to be at Pebble though. I'm ready to head out there.
I think that the circumstances of Pebble Beach, the Monterey area, will be significantly less apocalyptic and more posh by the time you get there. I mean, the upgrade that you're going from powerless Dallas to just, I mean, are you in the media hotel? Like the official. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. Your life is, don't tell your family how nice your life is about to be in about 2 days.
I've been trying to not talk about it. Every time I talk about it, my wife's like, yeah, okay. That's sounds like fun. Should be good for you.
You and Sean Martin on the beach, just going through workouts in the morning. All right. Listen, we addressed the circumstances of the taping of the podcast, but we need to accelerate quickly because one of the, nuts stuff on Sunday at the Canadian Open, because we had like 59 watch. We had what, like maybe even 58 watch by the time Rory McIlroy was at like the 13th or 14th hole as he's coming down the stretch, finishes with a bogey. It's a 61. And like to even back up a little bit, 64 on Saturday to put himself in that position, 61 to close it out and really just lap the field. It looked like, you know, Webb Simpson, his playing partner for the round, they're within a stroke or two of each other in the first five or six holes. And then really quickly, you know, it's that moment where you go from really trying to kill and beat your playing partner to just being amazed at what's happening and that you get to have a front row seat to it. What sort of your is it celebration? You know, what's sort of the lingering thought in your head after a really, really impressive Rory McIlroy performance?
Well, I thought it was funny because if you can shoot a 61 in the final round and win by a touchdown and it still feel like a letdown, that's sort of what Rory did. And I realize that sounds ridiculous, but when you're on like 50, I mean, we had our group chat going and somebody in it was like, he might shoot 57. I mean, he's 10 under with, or I think he was 9 with like 5 to go. And you're just thinking like, I mean, is what's in play here? And then he goes par, bogey, eagle, bogey over the last four, and it was sort of like, okay, 61, yeah, you know. But like that's the thing, right? Is and Sean Martin made this point. I thought it was a really good point. He said he got a lot of blowback for it, which I don't know why. I thought it was excellent. He said Rory is like he's got the Fred Couples curse, to where when he's rocking it. And Rory put like the way I think one of his tells, like he plays so fast whenever he's locked in. You're like, wait a second, like he's already on, you know, the next hole. Like he doesn't even like think about what he's doing. But whenever like he just, Sean's point was he makes it look so easy that whenever he doesn't play well, he makes it look so easy that you forget golf is hard.
Right.
And so when he doesn't play well, it doesn't make sense. And you're just like, this guy's like, you know, I don't, let me pull it up, 'cause I don't want to misrepresent what he was saying, but do you get that? Like, does that make sense to you? Do you feel that?
No, I was hovering on that comment all weekend, and it was he makes it look so easy, and I don't have the tweet pulled up, but I think it is he makes it look so easy that we expect it all the time.
Yeah, so he said it's actually a curse to make it look so easy. You make people forget how hard it really is, so they expect it from you all the time.
Yeah. No, I that stood out to me. It was a lingering thought through the weekend, and it had me going back to the idea that we need to understand that, yes, in the micro, these Rory heaters do have a little bit of the Fred Couples curse, but you know, to back it up a little bit and to look where he's been at since January, and you know, the stuff that you've been screaming about in terms of like, you know, being just wildly overlooking the idea that he won the freaking Players Championship, that he's got what now 11 top 10s and 13 events started. I mean, there is so much to suggest that this isn't just like a micro heater, but a macro heater. And we're watching one of the world's top golf talents have some of his best form that we've seen in a couple years.
Yeah, totally. And I want to touch on that in a second, but first on the round, he had 9 birdie putts and an eagle. Is that right? And then 2 bogeys. Yeah, that adds up. 9 birdie putts and an eagle putt. And one of those putts was over 11 feet. Just one.
Dialed in.
The other nine were from 11 feet and in. Like and he putted well. I think he was top 10 in putting, but you don't even have to putt well. You can putt average and you still win. And so when he putts well, win by 7. And we'll get to stat of the day later on. I mean, the way that he wins sometimes, you're just like, it's and that's what Sean's referring to. Like he looks so much better than everybody else that when he doesn't do it, you're like, oh, what's wrong with Rory? Well, nothing. And that's sort of my point. I put this out on Twitter on Monday morning. So Rory's at 2.7 strokes gained on the field right now. That would be the best number for a PGA Tour season since Tiger in 2009. So he's having, and I've been hollering about this, like you said, for the last 2 months. Like Jack Nicklaus said this at Memorial. He said, you know, Rory, I can't remember his exact wording, but he said something like, Rory's had a tough last 2 or 3 months. And I'm just screaming at my TV, like, what are we watching? Like, we can't do this thing and act like people just get so bought into these. Oh, he can't close, doesn't have it on Sunday, doesn't have it. It's like, did the Players' Championship not happen, or did it happen? Like, because I watched it, I'm pretty sure it happened, and I don't know. Like, I feel like people, I put it out on Twitter today, and people are coming at me, all stats don't matter, stats, you know, the people just like, wins are all that matter, Koepka's the man, and it's like, okay, well, maybe stats aren't everything, but they do. Strokes gain has an incredibly strong correlation with who the best golfers are and who, like, the guys that have the most wins. And so we can't act like the strokes gain thing doesn't matter at all, especially when you're that far ahead of everybody else. There's only 4 guys over 2, and he's almost at 3. And he's having the most effective season in terms of that category since Tiger in 2009, and the best season he's ever had in that category.
So, let's see. When was the CJ Cup?
That's a interesting question. October.
Okay, so Rory's got more wins than Brooks does since January.
I know.
If wins are everything, Rory's got more. I just counted them up. I think Brooks Koepka only has one win since January.
Nobody has more wins. Nobody has made more money in 2019 than Rory on the PGA Tour. So I don't know what to tell people. Like, I get it. The majors matter. They matter more than everything else. I am in that camp. I get that. But does the rest of the PGA Tour season not matter at all? Why do we even cover it? Why watch? What's the point?
Well,
or does this stuff matter at least a little bit? I mean, if the rest of the PGA Tour season doesn't matter, then DJ is not good. Like, he's not a good player. So is that the road we want to go down? I don't know. Like, some of the stuff that people have been talking about today, it's like, what are we doing? Like, you can't. Like, this stuff matters. Like, winning matters. I know it doesn't matter as much as winning majors, but it can't not matter at all.
So let me challenge you on this. At least the idea that we are having these discussions and these debates, and that these takes, whether they are wrong or misguided, or they lie with their priorities in different buckets than you or I or others do, the fact that we've got enough great golfers to have these fights is a very good thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, there were several texts being thrown around on Sunday of how funny is the 74-75 missed cut going to be for Rory at Pebble next week. And look, hey, he's missed three in a row at the U.S. Open. I would not be surprised at all if he missed it. And I think certainly there's a narrative there of like, okay, Rory wins when it, you know, he wins non-majors and then Brooks wins the majors. And that's a thing, like, and it's real. Like, it's a real talking point. I'm in on that talking point, but we can't just use that all the time, especially when Rory's going out and winning. I mean, the Canadian Open was a good field. He won the Players' Championship. I keep going back to, I feel like people like are acting like the Players' Championship did not happen. And the fact that DJ and Fleetwood and Furyk are all there on Sunday and Rory holds them off and closed, I feel like, maybe I'm crazy, but it feels like people are acting like that never happened, or the fact that it was like 5 years ago. That was less than 3 months ago. That was like 95 days ago that happened. And it's been part of this season-long run from Rory that's been, I think, among the most impressive of his career. You know, and yeah, the major thing hasn't happened. He didn't play great at Augusta. He didn't start great at Bethpage. But if he keeps playing the way that he's playing, like, he's going to run, he's going to find himself in the middle of some majors and run into a win or two over the next 3 or 4 years.
I will stand by my point. You know why no one talks about the Players?
Because it happened on Selection Sunday?
Yeah. The entire sporting world was dialed into Selection Sunday and the debate over who the one seeds are going to be. And we obviously are a huge part of it. And I know it because I was covering college basketball on that day, like, very vaguely aware of what was going on with Rory McIlroy. And I think that is my one thing that I'm going to take away moving forward from this readjusted schedule. It's not necessarily having the PGA Championship in May. It's the fact that the Players fell on Selection Sunday, and that has greatly changed the way that not the golf fans, but at least the average sporting public tunes into that tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's interesting. Real quick, I want to read you the top 15 in strokes gained right now, because I feel like people are just like, either they don't get strokes gained or they don't understand the context. Like strokes gained is I get it. It's not winning. Like, it's not a win. You don't get trophies for strokes gained, but it's the best measure that we have of who is going to win golf tournaments. Who's going to give themselves the most opportunities. Top 15 right now in order: Rory, DJ, Cantlay, Scott, JT, Hideki, Tiger, Fleetwood, Kuchar, Rose, Webb, Xander, Ricky, Brooks, Jason Day. I mean, and the fact that the Rory is so far ahead of everybody else on that list, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's just a direct correlation of who is going to win the most golf tournaments are the guys on that list. So it is what it is. Accept it or don't accept it. I get that wins don't equal, or strokes gained don't equal wins, but they do lead to wins. And if you want to know who's going to win tournaments, just look at that list.
And now it's time for Stock Up, Stock Down, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. We are coming off of a busy weekend at the Canadian Open. So for Stock Up, Stock Down, first I want to turn our attention to Graham McDowell. Graham McDowell, don't forget, won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. And this week at Canadian Open, he secured a spot in the Open Championship, which will be at Royal Portrush. And so, like Rory McIlroy, there's going to be a lot of, you know, home country feels going on. What is our stock up, stock down, our stock analysis of Graham McDowell?
I mean, it's up for me. It's a cool story. I didn't realize this, Chip, but he hasn't played in an Open since 2016. I mean, he hasn't been playing the best golf of his life the last few years, but I didn't realize that he hadn't actually played in an Open since 16. Portrush means a ton to him. He's been talking about it. Other people have been asking him about it for the last few months. So for him to do it and to do it the way he did, making a 30 footer on the last hole, if he doesn't make that, he falls into a tie for, I think it would have been 10th. And it was the way that you get into the Open out of the Canadian Open, it was top three that weren't already qualified. And he would have fallen into a tie with some other guys that were not qualified. So I don't know how that would have worked out, but this locked it up, and he'll be one of the feel-good stories going into Portrush here in a month.
All right, so what about Graham McDowell at Pebble?
I
think I'm about to be asked this on CBS Sports HQ on the noon show, and I was like, I mean, yeah, cool, like, good for him. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, yes, of course. Like, for all the struggles that he's had in recent years, the fact that he's in the Open, the fact that he got a high finish at the Canadian Open, and he did it in dramatic fashion, that is all great. I understand that on his profile, it does say that he won at this course, but I am not moving him up my power rankings for the 2019 U.S. Open.
Well, but this is sort of, I mean, this tells the story of where we're at right now, right? Is like, if once you get outside that top 15, the 15 guys I mentioned that are leading in strokes gained, once you get outside of that, you're like, I mean, I guess Kevin Kisner could win the U.S. Open. You know, I guess Kevin Streelman could win the U.S. Open, but they're not going to, you know?
Right.
And so, like, to me, McDowell just kind of falls in that. Now, however that plays out, I have no idea. Like, Kevin Streelman might win the U.S. Open, but I don't know how I can honestly look at the field and look at where guys are at and be like, yeah, I'm in on Kevin Streelman this week. And that's always been true, right, of golf at the highest level. But I feel like it feels like it's more true right now maybe than it's ever been. And maybe that's because we have more stars playing at a higher level than ever before.
And one more stock up, stock down here, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. One of those stars, certainly one of the biggest in the sport right now, Brooks Koepka, T50 in this performance at the Canadian Open. He seemed to really shrug off any issues he had. His driver got a little bit right, wasn't quite dialed in there. But he did not seem to have a lot invested going into the week. He also, in previous years where he went on to win the U.S. Open when he was playing at St. Jude, didn't have, you know, wild, stellar, top 10 type finishes there either. So I'm hesitant to adjust my stock, Kyle. But do you think that there's something from Koepka's performance at the Canadian Open that changes the way that you're power rating him going into Pebble Beach?
Yeah, I'll go stock down just a little bit. I mean, does the Canadian Open matter to him? No. Like, he basically said it didn't, you know, you mentioned that kind of going in, but he only broke par one time on a course that wasn't that hard. You know, you got Rory going 64, 61. I mean, Rory was, I think, 67, like 60, 69, 67, 64, 61, something like that. I mean, it's just, it's an easy course, and Koepka only broke par one time. I don't know. That was kind of like, oh, okay, you know. Now he'll probably still go win Pebble, and you know he'll have five majors. So I have no idea, but yeah, I'll go. I'll just for the sake of it, I'll go stock slightly down.
Slightly down, and that was Stock Up, Stock Down, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. Coming up on the other side, time to talk about the big cat, Tiger Woods, Pebble Beach, what it all means, and what we're expecting next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+. Plus.
All right. I love the way that in our rundown, you you titled this conversation, because I almost want to introduce it like this. Kyle Porter, Tiger's like not going to win Pebble, right?
That's what I titled my Tiger article on Monday.
Really? Like
I think it got changed. I actually might have changed it later on. I think I did.
Right.
I don't remember what I eventually titled it, but it was 2019 US Open : Tiger's not going to win Pebble, right?
I hope it didn't. You'll check it out on CBSSports.com.
Here's the thing. If Tiger goes Augusta Pebble within 100 days of each other, the season after making his comeback after four back surgeries, it is not only the sports story of the year, the sports story of the decade, it's the sports story of this century. Because winning Augusta, yeah, I mean, obviously it was unbelievable. I still don't have the proper context for it, and we're 2 months out, 3 months out, whatever. But to go Augusta Pebble, two of the most iconic major venues, two places where he's won, you know, kind of historically before, 97's historic, 2000 at Pebble's historic, to do that in the same year in this sort of era that he created, there's almost no possible way to overstate how unbelievable that would be, or to overrate how incredible it would be if he did that.
See, the thing that is scaring me about this conversation, I was going through, I guess it was last night and early this morning, and I was just starting to collect my bucket of names, right? Like, it, you know, whether we're asked for sleepers, whether we're asked for top 10 lock, whether it's going to be our picks to win, whether it's going to be like my, you know, whatever your pool is or whatever your fantasy is. Like, I go through and I start pulling up lots of different statistical categories, just, and this is sort of my current form research. And I was thinking about stuff that Sean Martin was discussing with us last time about it being, you know, the small greens. What if it turns into a chipping and putting contest, greens in regulation, proximity to hole? I started thinking about, you know, all these different categories, and I was going through, I was sorting them. And Kyle, like, forget about the Pebble history. Like, forget about even who he is. The name Tiger Woods kept showing up in like the top 10, top 15 of every category that I deemed important to win at Pebble Beach. Playing this year. It's nuts.
I know. And I sort of ran into this going into Augusta. I kept hollering about, look, Tiger's not necessarily scoring. He's not necessarily finishing as high as you would like to see on leaderboards. I think he finished like T30, T20, and T10 or something leading into the Masters. But if you look at the statistical profile, and again, like you said, just take his name out of it. Just erase the name. Just look at the numbers, look at the profile, and you're like, wait, what about this guy?
Right.
And then you add the name in, and you're like, oh, it's the same guy who's beaten. So he's faced 310 guys at Pebble at U.S. Opens, 155 in 2000, 155 in 2010. He's beaten 307 of them. three guys.
That's right, because in 2010, doesn't he finish like T3?
Yeah, so three guys have beaten. Graham McDowell beat him by 3 in 10. Your boy Gregory Havre beat him by 2 in 10. And Ernie Els beat him by 1 in 10. And he tied Phil, beat everybody else, and then obviously beat everybody in 2000.
All right, so he's faced 310 golfers, and he's beaten, repeat that one more time, 300?
I guess he's beaten 306 of them and tied one of them and lost to 3 of them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he tied Phil, lost to 3, and he's beaten everybody else.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. But to your point, like about the numbers thing, he leads the PGA Tour in greens in regulation. Like he's first.
First. Yeah, he's the best.
Like he's hitting greens at an unprecedented clip for, like he's never hit this many greens in his career. Now, you know, you can look at proximity to the hole. He's not number one in that. And you can construct an argument where you're like, okay, well, Pebble's greens are really small. So if you're not hitting it close to the hole, then it, you know, some of those greens in regulation are going to be like in the Pacific Ocean. That's not everything, but it's not insignificant. And I think if you look at, it's a place where he doesn't have to hit the driver all the time. You start to add things up and you're like, wait a second. Like, is this going to happen again? And I don't know, man. Like that was sort of the thesis of my article, is like, this can't happen, but what if it does?
It can happen and that's what you land at in the article, I assume.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's the argument I made, is that it can happen, but it can't. I mean, that's the whole deal, right? Is that's the fun of it, is that there's no possible way Tiger Woods is going to win at the age of 43. He's going to win Augusta and Pebble in the same year. But look at all this evidence that says otherwise. Like that juxtaposition, like that sort of inflection point to me is what makes this year so fascinating. The fact that it's at Pebble, everything that Tiger's doing right now, I couldn't be more intrigued by it.
And now it's time for our stat of the day, teased a little bit earlier in the show by our man Kyle himself. What's our stat of the day?
Yeah, Daniel Rappaport had this. You guys follow him at Daniel_Rappaport, RAPAPORT. He said 4 of Rory's 16 PGA Tour wins, so 25%, have come by 7-plus strokes, which is crazy.
For a golf tournament at the professional level to be won by 7 strokes is nuts.
It's insane. To contrast that, only 12 of Tiger's 81 PGA Tour wins. Did you know he had an 81 PGA Tour wins, Chip?
I've heard that.
So that's 15%. Rory's at 25% have come by 7 or more. Only one of Phil's 44 wins have come by 7 or more. Only one of DJ's 20 wins have come by 7 or more. So Rory has done, he has doubled Phil and DJ combined in terms of winning by 7-plus strokes. And I think that to me just points back to the point that Sean made of like, when it's on, it is just so on that you can't even believe what it looks like. A different course, it looks like a different sport sometimes. And that's, you know, that's why when it's not on, or when it's sort of on, and I honestly, like, I think that's some of the reason that people have said, or you saw Jack Nicklaus saying, like, talking about how he's struggled a little bit. Like he hasn't, but compared to his like ceiling, sure. Like I get that. You know,
I go back to body language. Like Rory McIlroy could have a round of 69 going, but in that round of 69, he's like had four miss hits and like three missed putts that kept it from being like a 63. And he's just grimacing, and you see like the opportunities, and then he's not able to cash in those opportunities. And the fact that it would happen at a big stage like the PGA Championship, I feel like that's the, like those moments are the ones that are being driven into the minds of the golf fan who is overlooking this dominance at all these other events.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, when you're that good, that young, and this is something Spieth's running into, it's like, bro, I don't care what you did at Colonial. Now, I kind of do, just because I'm covering the PGA Tour week in and week out, but I think the average golf fan is like, okay, what did Spieth do at the US Open? I don't care what he did the four events leading up to that. And that's, there's some, like, a lot of that is fair, you know? I can't remember where I was going with that, but that's sort of the unfortunate reality of like having that much success at that age. One of the things that we were talking about on Sunday in our group chat is and I know people love me referencing that all the time, but is when, like, how many majors has Rory been like involved, like legitimately involved in on a Sunday since winning Valhalla in 14?
Well, one of them would be when he was with Patrick Reed.
I think that's the only one.
Okay.
I mean, you sort of got it at Carnoustie last year. He ties the lead. He makes that eagle on whatever that was, 15 or 16, that like 50-foot putt.
Right.
So he's sort of in that, but you know, how many times are you looking up and be like, "Oh, Rory might win this major." It hasn't happened very often. And I think that's where some of the I think legitimately placed disappointment kind of comes in.
Good stuff. All right. So we are going to be back tomorrow and with you on Wednesday. You will, by the time we chat again, are you going to be in, are you going to be landed in Pebble Beach?
Nope. No, I'll be in the take shed on Tuesday, hopefully with some power, some AC. But yeah, we're going to do some storylines. We're going to do some, I rank the field. That's coming out on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday's pod, I'll be in Pebble with Sean Martin.
Woo! Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.